I remember the whole beginning as a succession of flights and drops, a little seesaw of the right throbs and the wrong. Henry James, The Turn of the Screw. Part 1. Chapter 1. Dusk. A deserted room. A scrap of black silk on a marble table. Darkening waters beyond. This was the scene, unpeopled, dim and silent, that I had been dreaming of for months, often on two or three consecutive nights, always the same dream, the same tableau, more or less, more than less. What did it mean? What did it signify? I did not know, could not guess, and the enigma of it troubled me almost as much as did the dream itself. I thought it must be to do in some way with Venice, since it was in Venice that my wife and I were to pass the first months of the new year, and of the new century, as it happened. And naturally, I was much preoccupied with that mysterious, not to say phantasmal, city, set, impossibly, in the midst of a swamp. The most remarkable aspect of the dream, aside from its repetitiveness, was that the few objects that appeared in it, the table, the handful of crumpled fabric, the window giving on to what I knew must be the lagoon, all appeared somehow familiar to me. So much so that when I started awake in bafflement and distress, with a dry mouth and in a tangle of damp bedsheets, I was convinced that the room in the dream was a room in Venice that I had visited, and had more than visited, had lodged in. Yet how could that be, since I did not know the city, had never been there? But then, I told myself, trying to make sense of it, is that not the case with all of the places, things, and people we dream of? That they seem mundanely familiar, and at the same time inexpressibly strange? Dolman is the name. Evelyn Dolman. I am by trade a man of letters. You might have heard of me in my day, for I had a middling reputation in the period coming to be known in our increasingly Frenchified age as the fin de siècle, that is, the 1890s. I choose the word trade deliberately. I wrote books, stories, plays, and much journalism besides, with the simple and express purpose of establishing a reputation in the world and making a living from it. If I was successful, however moderately, it wasn't through inspiration, whatever that may be, but by dint of rigid application and dedicated labour. My models were the likes of Henry Mayhew, Bernard Shaw, and, of course, H.G. Wells, whom I met once, or at least bumped into, at the offices of some publisher or other. I took pride in my work. It was solidly and cleanly done, and polished to the best of my ability. My aim was to entertain the reader, and, when the opportunity presented itself, to enliven his mind and improve his character. Also, I sound like Uriah Heep. More, I sound like Uriah Heep's creator. That's not me. My moderate aims, my craftsman's pride. The fact is, I set out to be a lord of language, who in time would be placed among the immortals. Mayhew, a midget. Shaw, pshaw. And as for that whoremaster Wells, don't get me started. No. My targets were the mighty beasts of the literary jungle, the Henry Jameses, the George Eliots, the Conrads and the Hardys and the Ford Madox Fords, not to mention the Flauberts and the Tolstoys, not to mention the Shakespeares. There was no giant whose mighty shoulders my ambition would not o'ervault, no polished pard whose eye my pen, that steely poniard, would not pierce. What was it poor half-mad Kleist said to the great Goethe? I shall tear the laurel wreath from thy brow. Well, there would be a forest of wreathless brows before Dolman was done. I would outright them all. Aye, and look what I became. A Grub Street.